One Month to Live is the series that we're in. We're in week three of this. The first week, we really focused on living the dash. Focusing on the dash. The dash of the cemetery marker. Born such and such a day, dash, died such and such a day. That dash is so insignificant on that stone, and yet so powerfully important for us. We're living the dash right now. And so if we could only embrace the truth that our days are limited, they are numbered, and if we had 1 month to live, things would be different in our lives. Priorities would be different in our lives. And wouldn't it be wonderful if we could live like we're dying? And then last week, we really focused in on that which is most important that we're going to talk about even more today, and that is to love like we're dying, like our days are numbered. The scripture that is the focus of this entire series is from the Psalms, actually a psalm of Moses, which is, "Teach us to number our days, Lord." Really, this could be our prayer. "Teach us to number our days, Lord, and recognize how few they are, and help us to spend them as we should." True? Lord, teach us to number our days and to recognize how few they are. Help us to spend them as we should. If we had 1 month to live, our priorities would be different. And what we're doing with the dash, what we're doing with loving like we're dying, is that we are in the process, we are all in the process of building a legacy that we will leave. I love that word, legacy, because it's so important that we leave a legacy, that we build a life that is important enough that it leaves a legacy with those around us. At your memorial service, we'll be talking about your legacy. It could be a very brief service. Because there's not much to say. Or it could be an extended time of praise. Which will it be? You know, I've been using this word legacy. In fact, that's really, you know, the embryo of this series is that, I really focused in on, you know, what is the legacy that we leave? And I thought, you know, yesterday I thought, you know, I probably should go to the dictionary and see what the definition of legacy is. And so I did. And in fact, I went to a number of them because I wasn't satisfied with the first one I went to. And so here's the definition of legacy. A gift by will, especially of money or other personal property. In other words, a bequest. I read that and I thought, are you kidding me? That's what we're talking about with a legacy, is a gift by will, especially of money or other personal property. Stuff? That's a legacy? Then the second one was kind of better. Something transmitted by or received from an ancestor or predecessor from the past. But that's, I was stunned. I thought, you're kidding me. That's what legacy means in our culture, is the stuff that we leave to others? Well, that's not what God's word says is what's most important. If you had only 1 month to live, you could make some changes that would improve what you left behind. But how much better for us to know that we have more than a month? That we have a bunch of months in all likelihood, a bunch of years in all likelihood. That we have time to contribute to the legacy that we leave behind to others. And legacy, according to Scripture, would be that which we leave of value to others around us. And Jesus has already told us that stuff rots. It decays. It has no lasting value whatsoever. What God wants us to do is to leave a legacy of value, that the world around us has changed a bit because we were around, that the lives of people were changed a bit because we were in their lives, that my life mattered enough that it left something of worth to those around me, whether it be my family, my friends, my coworkers, my church, that I leave something of value. And God has given us the opportunity to be aware of the fact, Lord, teach us to number our days and recognize how few they are. Help us to spend them as we should. Help us to build that legacy today and tomorrow, and to build that legacy into the greatest return that we'll ever get in this world, and that is with people. Our relationships are the only investments that can't be destroyed by a fire or natural disaster or be lost in the stock market. Relationships. If we truly want to leave an eternally enduring legacy, we need to look beyond our homes and beyond our investment portfolio, beyond our heirloom jewelry, beyond our stuff, and do an on-site inspection of this life that we are building, and to see if we are poised to leave a legacy of value and meaning and purpose. Are you with me? So, let's do an on-site inspection. Let's first of all do an influence evaluation. If I'm going to spend my time in such a way that I leave a legacy on this earth, then I need to pass the influence test, the influence evaluation. You may have more or fewer opportunities than I have, but we all have been given a limited number of opportunities to influence others and to make a difference in their lives. God has given each one of us, to a greater or lesser degree, the opportunity to influence others and to make a difference in their lives. God has invested in us and given us the ability to influence others. And let's be honest, God expects a return on his investment. He's invested in you, he's invested in me, so that we can make a difference in the lives of people around us. He wants us to take advantage of those opportunities rather than just burying our heads in our own activities and ignoring the responsibility to make a difference in the lives of others. Too often we get wrapped up in my life, my time. Well, my life and my time is not my own. It's been bought with a price. Jesus owns me. And he has designs on my life, on my time, on everything that he's given to me, so that I will be a blessing to others. And how do you do that? How do you influence others? Well, I kind of whittled it down to two words, both starting with S. The first is speak, and the other is serve. We influence others by the way that we speak and the way that we serve. First of all, speak. Speak with integrity. And what is integrity? Integrity is composed of three different activities: telling the truth, keeping your word, and practicing what you say that you believe. If you want to be a person of integrity, always tell the truth, always keep your word and your promises, and always practice to do what you say you believe. The Bible has a lot to say about these qualities. Proverbs 17 says this: respected people do not tell lies. Respected people do not tell lies. You know, all leadership is built on one thing, and that is it's built on trust. You don't follow somebody you don't trust, and trust is built on truth. You don't follow somebody who doesn't tell the truth. So if you want to be a leader, you have to learn to speak the truth. If you don't tell the truth, then nobody trusts you, nobody follows you, nobody's going to be influenced by you. Why is it that we often look around in our society and we see that most of our leaders are not respected? Respected people don't tell lies. And most of what we hear from our leaders, we are suspect of motive and whether they're actually telling the truth. Most leaders are held in low esteem today because they don't tell the truth. Simply, they lack integrity, and as a result, nobody wants to follow them. Look at what Proverbs 25 says. It says, people who promise things they never give are like clouds and winds that bring no rain. You see, it's not only telling the truth, it's also keeping your promises. When you make a promise, you keep that promise. Have you ever failed to keep a promise? Let me jog your memory a little bit. I'll return it as soon as I'm done with it. I won't tell anybody that you told me that. The check's in the mail. I'll be home at 6, honey. We can play this weekend, son. We'll do it when things settle down. My diet begins tomorrow. If you want to be a person of lasting legacy, then you keep your word. Studies have shown that the number one cause of resentment in children is parents who don't keep their promises. Parents who don't keep their promises. We make promises to our kids and we break them. Why? Well, we get too busy or we get too tired or we don't feel like, you know, we've got the energy to do it, and so we break the promise. But what we model when we do that is a lack of integrity with our children. You've got to keep your word. Speak with integrity and serve intensely. The second word, serve. It's not only speaking the truth, keeping your promises, but it's also serving intensely. That's how you influence people, is to be a servant to them. Another study of children, and they ask kids, what do you want to be when you grow up? Would you be shocked to know that not one kid said, I want to grow up to be a servant? We talked about this a few weeks ago with shocking statements of Jesus. Jesus said, if you want to be great, then you'll be the servant of all. That's the way that you influence people, is that you serve them. You know, but what our kids, you know, the results of that survey are the kids want to be celebrities, they want to be stars, they want to be winners, they want to be leaders. Jesus said, if you want to be great, be a servant of all. That's the way that you influence people. Proverbs 14, you'll earn the trust and respect of others if you work for good. If you work for the good of others. The fact is, most people only work for their own good. We work for our dreams and our ambitions and our goals. We think about what we want. We're not thinking about the good of other people. We're thinking about our retirement and how we can be comfortable. That's why most people never leave a lasting legacy. They don't serve intensely. They don't serve others. Mother Teresa said, it's not what you do that matters, but how much love you put into it that makes a difference, because that's what impacts people. The tragedy today is that many of us are wasting our lives on things that are not going to last. We are wasting our lives, God would say, on things that do not last. The Bible is very clear that some things are going to last forever and some things are not. The Bible says that there are some things that are going to make a difference forever, and there's some things that aren't going to be worth thinking about tomorrow. And too many of us are investing our time and our energy and our life and our reputation on things that aren't going to last. Jesus warned us in John chapter 6. He says, don't work for food that spoils. Instead, work for the food that lasts for eternal life. And he's given a principle here. He's saying, don't waste your time and energy on stuff that's going to rot, going to spoil, going to decay, going to rust. But invest your life in things that are going to last forever. And what are those? You know, what we do is, you know, one of the things that is not going to last that we just adulate is fame. That's not going to last. Today, the hero. Tomorrow, the zero. You know, status isn't going to last. Why spend a lot of time trying to gain, status? That's not going to last. You won't keep it. And it doesn't matter anyway. Pleasure doesn't last. Power doesn't last. Everything that we amass, all the things that we have, that's not going to last. You're not going to take it out of this world. It's not going to go with you. In fact, it's probably going to be broken before you die. What is going to last for all eternity? Two things. First is truth. Truth is going to last forever. The truth is in here. This is going to last forever. The Word of God is going to last forever. Isn't it worthwhile to build our lives on truth? That's one thing that's going to last forever. And the second, can you guess? Look around you. People. We're going to last forever. People are made to last forever. So if you want to leave a lasting legacy, then build it on those things that will last. Invest your life in the truth and the Word of God, and invest in other people. That's the way to leave a legacy that matters, of value and meaning and purpose, making a difference in the lives of those around you. Serve them, love them, help them, encourage them, bring them into the kingdom, help them to get to know God. Everything else, one day is going to burn up. God says, invest your life in those things that are going to last. Can I ask you, I want to give you a little quiz. Are you ready? How many of you could name the last five winners of the Miss America contest? No? How about this? How about you can name 10 people who won the Nobel or Pulitzer Prize? How about you name the last half dozen Academy Award winners for Best Actor or Actress? You've already forgotten last year's. How about name the most valuable player in football, basketball, and baseball for the last 5 years? Could you do that? Yesterday's heroes we forget about. These are not insignificant people. These are winners. They are not second-rate achievers. They're at the top of their class, the pinnacle of what the world calls success. Achievement vanishes. Awards tarnish, and certificates grow yellow, and they get crumpled and put into a desk drawer. Another quiz. Are you ready? Can you name, can you remember the most helpful teacher you had in school? How many of them? Oh. Can you name two friends who helped you through a difficult time? Can you name someone who taught you something worthwhile and really helped you propel in life? Can you name somebody who believed in your potential while you were growing up? Can you name some people you enjoy spending time with? Those things we remember. Because those things matter. True? They matter. They mattered to me. They matter to us. And God says, that matters to me. How we impact and touch others. If you want to leave a legacy, then serve other people with intensity. God says. That's the influence test. How about now the affluence inspection? If you're going to have an impact on eternity, you have to consider how you spend your material resources. Plain and simple. Now, you may be tempted to think, well, wait a minute, I'm barely getting by. I'm certainly not affluent. This must apply to those wealthy folks. Well, I understand where you're coming from. But with very few exceptions, you're considered affluent by the rest of the world. We are all affluent according to the rest of the world. Passing the affluence inspection is not as dependent on how much money you have as what you do with what you do have. What I do with what I do have. And Jesus gives us an example. I want you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 12, would you please? Luke chapter 12, and if you're using the large Bible, it's 1583. If you're using the small one, it's 795. Luke chapter 12, verse 16. On your sermon notes, I got 19, but it should have been 16. Chapter 12, verse 16. Are you all there? It's about a successful businessman. A success. Somebody that's raking it in. Somebody that is really being blessed. Now look at what Jesus said. And then he told them a story. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. And he said to himself, what should I do? I don't have room for all my crops. He's got a problem. A big problem. He doesn't have a big enough storage unit for all his stuff. All his blessing. All his wealth. The bank isn't big enough. So what to do? What shall I do? And then he said, I know. Bing! A light goes off. I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns that aren't big enough, and I'll build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back, and I'll say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. You ever heard that phrase? This is where it comes from. Eat, drink, be merry. Successful businessman, got all his loot, doesn't have enough room to store all his loot. What to do? What to do? Build a bigger storage unit. But God said to him, you fool. He didn't say, brilliant idea, businessman. He didn't commend him. He didn't say, well done, good and faithful servant. He says, you fool. You will die this very night. You didn't know it, but you don't have a month to live. You've got a few hours to live. And then who will get everything you worked for? Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, to build bigger barns, to amass more and more from me, and not have a rich relationship with God and do what he wants you to do, which is to serve others, to give to others. Every one of us has to pass the affluence inspection because God will one day hold us accountable for everything that he gave to us. Did we hoard it or did we share it to bless others? Did we amass more and more? Did we get bigger and bigger bank accounts for me? Or did I bless others with what he gave me? The affluence test. There's nothing wrong with having resources and wealth as long as we realize that all these material things, they're just temporary and they are opportunities that we have at our disposal to bless others, to touch others, to serve others. And the only way to pass the affluence test is simply by giving. The Bible makes it clear that we make a living by what we get in life, but we make a legacy by what we give. You will never leave a legacy until you learn to become a generous giver of your time, of your money, of your effort, of your energy, of your talents. Look at what 2 Corinthians 9 says. It says, godly people give generously. Then it goes on to say, their good deeds will never be forgotten. They leave a legacy. Godly people give generously. They've left a legacy. Andrew Carnegie, you may have heard that name, one of the great philanthropists from the early last century, when he died, they found in his desk a little piece of paper on which he'd written his life vision, his life goal. He said, I'm going to spend the first half of my life making as much money as I can, and I'm going to spend the second half of my life giving it all away. And that's exactly what Andrew Carnegie did. In fact, in his lifetime, he gave away over $450 million, which at that time was an enormous amount of money. And that's exactly why if you go out to the East Coast, the Eastern Seaboard, you'll see the name Carnegie all over everything. Carnegie Hall, Carnegie Institute, Carnegie Foundation. You see the name Carnegie because he gave it all away. If he'd kept it, he'd have been nobody today, but he gave it away. Now, some of you are thinking, man, that's a good idea. I'm going to spend the first half of my life, making all the money I can and the second half giving it away. There's only one problem with that strategy. How do you know when you're at halftime? Good question, huh? How do you know when you're at halftime? You may already be there. You may be in the last quarter. You may be in the two-minute drill. So that's a bad strategy. The better strategy is to suggest being generous. I suggest being generous now. Now, with each one of us now. That's what God says. You know, not at some point in the future, now. You know, amazing things happen when you become generous. God so badly wants you to become like him. That's what the Bible says. The goal that God has for each one of us is that we become more and more like him. And God is a giver at the heart. He wants us to be just like him. And in fact, in his word, he says, I want you to be a giver. And there is blessing that comes to you when you do. And he, in essence, says, let's just play a little game. Let's just see who can give the most, you or me. You can't outgive God. God says, when you give, you are blessed. When I give, I am blessed. And God says, when you do that, then I'm going to open up the floodgates of blessing upon you, and let's just see if you can outgive me. It can't happen. God will always bless your life more than you can give away. So the more you give, the more God blesses your life. Not always in the same way, but he blesses your life. That's the promise that God gave. Bob Hope. How many of you do not know who Bob Hope is? Okay, he was an entertainer from the olden days that only us old fogies know. Maybe in your generation be Jimmy Fallon. Bob Hope, he says, if you have no generosity in your heart, you have the worst kind of heart disease. You've got a stingy heart. Since it's Mother's Day, can I say something to your parents? You know, we often give our kids the wrong things. I've noticed as generation comes and the new generation comes and this last generation that we are living in has shifted in how to deal with children. I've noticed that in this last generation, the definition of successful parenting has changed from spending time personally with kids to being in activities and being an activities director for your kids. You become both a chauffeur and a spectator. We take kids to Little League, and then we watch our kids at Little League. We're not interacting with them. We're taking them, and we're watching them. We take kids to Kung Fu training, and then we watch them at Kung Fu training. We take them to dance, to ballet, and then we watch them at dance and ballet. We take them to band or ceramics class or art or whatever, and then we watch them. And parenting has been redefined as simply giving your kids enriching activities. And that's just not a good answer. There's nothing wrong with those things, but that's not what parenting's all about. You can do those things, but that's not what parenting is all about. Parenting is about personal time with your children, not taking them somewhere else and have somebody else spend time with them. It's interacting with them, giving them attention, the time to be generous with your time, with your attention, with your love, with your money is now. Proverbs 3 says, whenever you are able to do good to people who need help, don't say, come back later, I'll give it to you tomorrow. Dads, how many times have we said to our kids, later, later, son, later, honey, we'll do it later, and then we put them off. We only have kids for a season. Those of us who are, you know, through the child-rearing days, we can testify to the fact that you only have them for a short season. It may seem eternal while you're in it. You hear me? I had five. I know. It seems eternal, but in all truth, it is a short, short season, a precious time. They're growing up. You know, they move out. They get married. They get their own families. Then they're going to be off on their own, and then it'll be too late. Serve with intensity and give with generosity now to those that you can make a difference, the influence circle that God gives to you. All that really matters is loving God and other people. Everything else is going to fall away. So there's the affluence test. Lastly, how about the obedience exam? The obedience exam. If we're going to influence people, if we're going to bless people, if we're going to have value with people, if we're going to make a difference in other people's lives, then the obedience exam needs to be passed in our lives. Paul wrote this in Ephesians 5. He says, so be careful how you live, not as fools, but as wise, those who are wise, and make the most of every opportunity for doing good in these evil days. Keep going. Don't act thoughtlessly, but try to understand what the Lord wants you to do. There's the key. The key to life, the key to making a difference in other people's lives is, you know, be careful how you live. Don't just live one day into the next, following pleasure, following, you know, the pursuit of acquisition, you know, just, you know, doing the same thing each, you know, be careful how you live, not as fools, but as those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity to do good. And don't act thoughtlessly, but do what? Try to understand what the Lord wants you to do. If you have that in place, if you seek to obey God, then you're going to make a difference in the lives of people. Because the closer we get to living as God made us, the more we're going to matter in the lives of the people around us. We're going to bless them. Obedience always leads to God's blessing. When you use influence for God, when you use affluence for God, and when you seek to obey God, it adds up to leaving a legacy that matters, that has touched people, that has changed their lives. And you know what the greatest legacy of all is? The greatest legacy that you could leave is helping someone come to know Jesus. The greatest legacy that you could leave is helping someone to know Jesus, to changing the trajectory of somebody's life from eternal separation to eternal joy with God. The greatest thing that you could do for someone, the greatest mark that you could do on this earth, is to actually help somebody determine their eternal destiny. Do you hear me? Is anybody going to be in heaven because of you? The greatest legacy that we can leave, the greatest difference that we can make in somebody else's life, whether that be in our family, in our friendship circle, in our work circle, the greatest legacy that we could leave is for a person to stand up at your memorial service and say, you know, I'm going to live eternally with God because they shared with me the love of Jesus. Wow. 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 So how are you doing at building a lasting legacy? How are you doing with the influence exam and the affluence examination and the obedience test? Let's build lives that matter, that touch others. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, and we desire to be people that live lives that are worthwhile. And Lord, what is worthwhile does not come from the world. It does not come from entertainment. It does not come from success and power and all the things that swirl around us in our world that people would say we need to pursue. But rather, your word points us to the truth, and that is that how to really matter in this world is to love others and to serve others and to speak the truth, to speak with integrity, to obey you, to do what you want so that our lives have meaning, our lives have purpose, and we touch others significantly. We change the trajectory of their life. That's what you desire for us, Lord. So help us to build that. To build that starting now. That we would take stock of our influence circle. That we would take stock of the affluence that you have blessed us with and how we can bless others. The obedience that we need to ramp up so that we seek you and what you want us to do in this life and that we touch others. We love others. We change others. We're used by you to build lives that really have meaning, purpose, value. Thank you, Lord, for your word. All in the name of Jesus. Amen.